that I was at, and what an impressive guy, and what a great organization. I would second everything that Donna said, a great way to help kids around the world. We are in part three of our series called Staying in Love. Today I want to help solve a mystery. For those of you who are in love or want to be in love or have ever thought about being in love, here's the mystery. How is it that two people can stand at an altar and swear on their lives that they're going to love each other for all time, and they're going to be the one and only till death do us part, rich or poor, sickness and health, but then 5 years later or 10 years later, they hate each other's guts? You know, in fact, they hate each other so much that they hate each other more than any other person on the planet. I mean, isn't that a little weird? You ever thought of that? You know, the person that I gave my deepest vow to is now the person I hate more than any other. And in fact, every time that person comes to mind, it's just like I just cringe. I cannot say a nice thing about her. The person I swore to love forever, I now hate her guts. It's just a little strange. Now, we see this happen all the time, right? And so we've gotten used to it. But if you think about it, it is pretty strange. If you're going to really hate somebody more than anybody else on the planet, wouldn't it make more sense to hate like a serial killer or some cruel dictator? You know, going over in Syria now, it's killed 7,000 of his own people. Wouldn't it make more sense to like hate him? You know, I've got to hate somebody. You know, there's people who do horrible things and hurt a lot of people, and we react like, oh, you know, that's too bad. Somebody ought to do something about it. But then we just go on with our day and don't think any more about it. But when we think about our ex-wife or ex-husband or ex-fiance or whoever it is, it's like, grrr, and all this anger, and you're just thinking about them, and your day is ruined, and you can't get over it. Isn't that strange? Well, we're going to try to explain that today. Another mystery that we're going to try to explain today is, imagine that you run into a couple that you're friends with, and you ask them how things are going, and they say, well, actually, we're getting divorced. And you say, oh, well, why is that? And they say, well, we just don't love each other anymore. But say that you decided to go a little bit deeper into this, push a little farther. And so you said to them, well, you know, I'm betting that a year from now or a few years from now, you'll meet somebody else. And you think maybe you'll fall in love again. You think maybe you'll get married again. And they'd say, like, well, you know, that could happen. We're open to that. And you ask their spouse the same thing. Oh, yeah, you know, give them some time, and eventually that could happen. So let me get this straight. Okay, you don't like each other. In fact, you hate each other now, and you're going to get divorced. But eventually, both of you are open to the possibility of falling in love with somebody else, starting all over again in a new relationship, and maybe getting married again. Yeah. Well, then you say, I've got an idea, because, you know, I'm a smart person. How about if instead of doing that, you just fall in love with each other again? You know, what if you could save so much time and energy and money, because you're going to have to pay, like, some lawyer a lot of money to break this thing up, and there's going to be a real headache. And, you know, how about if you just fall in love with each other again, and it would be a lot cheaper and easier? Now, why, if you suggested that, why would this couple look at you like you have two heads? And in fact, it's like, you know, if you had another brain, it would be lonely. You don't understand anything, do you? And, you know, actually, I would admit that they have a point. I know it's not that simple, but today I want to try to explain why it's not that simple. Here's the idea behind the series we've been in for a couple weeks. The question we ask is it possible for two people to fall in love and to stay in love forever, be happy together forever? Is it even possible? And even if I told you, no, it's not possible. We've done a scientific study. We've found out it is not possible to stay in love forever together. Even if I said it's impossible, you would try to do it anyway. You would try to prove me wrong. Why? Because there is just something in your heart and in my heart that really wants that one special somebody that I can enjoy life with and stay together with, soulmates. We can have a level of intimacy that goes beyond anything else. We all want that in love forever kind of relationship. And we want it enough that we think it must be possible. And not only that, it must be possible for me. Now, we said that part of making that a reality is to make love a verb. In other words, love is not just something you fall into. It's something you actually do. You make it an action. And we talked about that the first week. The second week, we talked about how Jesus is to be our example of how to love. We're supposed to love as Christ loved us by putting the other person first. And I know many of you sat here last week and you said, well, yeah, Ken, it sounds good, but it's not that simple. And you're right, it's not that simple. So that's what I want to talk about it today. You see, it would be that simple. It would be as simple as I'm going to put you first and you're going to put me first. And as long as we put each other first, we'll be in love, we'll be passionate, we'll be holding hands and we'll, you know, giggle like 16-year-olds for the rest of our lives. It would be that simple if we both came into the relationship with a heart that was perfect and full and whole. If we just both had awesome, amazing, wonderful relationships in our past, if we both came from a family where, you know, your dad was at every game, your mother was at every recital, and they held hands and they never fought with each other, and, you know, they were perfect examples of romance and love and parenting, and of course, you always had wonderful friends when you're growing up, and they never deceived you or abused you or took advantage of you or hurt you, and so your whole childhood was just full of joy and affirmation and acceptance, and then, of course, you brought that into your marriage relationship. Your heart was so full of good things. Your spouse's heart was so full of good things that all you had to do is put each other first, and you would live together, happy, stay in love the rest of your lives. It's all simple and easy. The problem is, couples do not come into marriage like that, with that kind of past. Or if they do, at least I've never seen it yet. What really happens is that couples bring something with them into marriage. In fact, we even have a name for it. We call it baggage. All of us bring baggage into our relationships. No matter how perfect you are, we've all been dinged up at least a little bit. Maybe your dad didn't come to all the games. In fact, maybe he didn't come home at all sometimes. And maybe your mother had some issues from her past that she's still dealing with. Maybe there were some financial problems, there were stress and fights around that. Maybe there were some drugs or alcohol. Maybe there was some abuse going on somewhere. Maybe there was that younger brother who seemed to be the favorite, and so you felt rejected some of the time. No matter who you are, you have got some baggage. We all come into romantic relationships with hearts that aren't perfect. And in order to illustrate this a little better today, I have a couple friends who I invited to come here with us. This is Mr. and Mrs. Squishy. They actually are new members of our church. You know, they just joined recently. And, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Squishy, it's very convenient that their heads come off here, and so I can sort of hold them up for you. They met when they were in high school and instantly were just attracted. And, you know, he said, like, whoa, she is really hot. And she said, oh, he's really a hunk. And so they were attracted and they started dating. And, you know, when they were dating, and by the way, since their heads come off, this is what their hearts look like. It's convenient. We get to see their hearts here. And they were very careful with their hearts when they were dating. You know, they didn't want to damage each other, and so they were careful about what they'd say, and you know, they had a couple problems here and there, but they didn't really damage each other a long way. But then they got married, okay? And I'm going to sort of, you know, put their heads down here so we can actually see what's in their hearts. And they got married, and about 3 months after they got married, they had their first big conflict. And, you know, it was sort of like a bump. And this stuff started coming out of their hearts, and it was like, where did that come from? I never saw that before. And he says, you know, I didn't know that stuff was in you. And she said, I didn't know you had anger problems. And he said, well, I didn't have anger problems until you pushed my buttons. Oh, there it happened again. And so then they had another problem, and she went to her sister, and she said, well, you know, when we were dating, he didn't act like that. He didn't push my buttons. And I don't know where that stuff came from, you know. And he went and talked to, we don't know who he went to talk to because guys don't talk to anybody. But he stood in front of a mirror, and he said, well, she never acted like that when we were dating, and I don't know where that stuff came from, and why is she putting all my buttons now, and it's all her fault. If she just wouldn't say those things, then we'd be fine. And so then they got back together, and he said, well, you know, why are you, you know, always saying this or and doing that now, and you didn't used to do that. And she said, well, you know, why are you so angry now? And he says, because you made me angry. Now, you get the picture, right? And some of you are saying, well, what's the point here? And here's the point. See, Mr. Squishy thinks that the reason that those blue beads come out of him is because they keep having conflicts and she keeps bumping him, and so she makes those beads come out. And Mrs. Squishy thinks that the pink beads are coming out of her because they keep having conflicts and he keeps pushing her buttons and he makes those things come out of her. But here is the truth. The blue beads, the reason the blue beads come out of Mr. Squishy is because that's what's in there. And the reason that the pink beads come out of Mrs. Squishy is because that's what's in there. You see, all of us have stuff in our hearts. And you don't really know what's inside of you until you get bumped. And oftentimes, you don't really get bumped in life until a few months after you've gotten married. You don't really have a big, gut-wrenching, hard bump until you get into marriage. And you see, there's something about romance, and there's something about commitment, the kind of commitment where, you know, we say I do, and it, you know, I'm committed to you, you're committed to me. There's something about that that brings out the best, but it also brings out the worst. Most people don't really know what's going on inside of them until they get into a relationship where they're committed and you're the one for me, I'm the one for you, and then they bump up against each other, and it's, you know, these, like all these beads come out, and they're saying, where did that stuff come from? What in the world was that? See, that is why people who make the ultimate commitment to one another end up madder at each other than anybody else on the planet, because he is absolutely sure that those blue beads come out because she's causing it. She's getting on his nerves. She makes them come out. It's because she keeps saying that thing or doing that thing and nagging him, and then so it's all her fault. But the truth is, the blue beads come out of him because they're in him. I know this is really complicated stuff, so you might need to take some notes here. But and likewise, she is absolutely convinced that the pink beads are coming. If he would just stop doing that thing or saying that thing, or if he would just be like this or not be like this or, you know, whatever, then those pink beads wouldn't come out anymore. But the truth is, the pink beads come out because they're in there. All of us have stuff in our hearts. And all of us blame the person that we love the most when that stuff comes out. But the real reason it comes out is because it's in us. And it just happens that romantic relationships and relationships of commitment, those are the relationships that more quickly than any other will bring out that stuff that's inside of us. None of the other relationships in your life will bring out what's really inside you like marriage will. And we always blame it on the other person. But here's what's interesting. For those of you who've been in a number of different dating relationships, or maybe you've been married more than once, here's what you discover. When you get into another relationship, strangely enough, blue beads keep coming out in that relationship too. And so you get rid of that one, and four relationships later, it's still the same blue beads coming out. And you're thinking, wow, you know, all these women have exactly the same issues. You know, they just keep bringing the same stuff out of me. I need to meet somebody who will bring something different out of me.
But the problem is you will never meet that person because the only thing that will come out of you is what's already in you. A couple weeks ago, I was in Virginia taking a seminary course. The professor was telling about his dad. His dad lives with him and he is old and is experiencing dementia. And he said that since his father has been experiencing dementia, he's become much more mean to the people in the house, to the kids, to the pets. I mean, a real obvious difference. And so he talked to his dad's doctor about this, and his doctor said, oh, yeah, you know, that's very common in people who have dementia. What happens is what's really inside them starts to reveal itself. And, you know, before they have dementia, they're much better at hiding it. But afterwards, it comes out more clearly. And the doctor told him, basically, your dad has always had this tendency towards anger and meanness inside him, but he could always hide it in the past. And now he can't hide it anymore because of the dementia. And I thought that was so interesting because that goes directly to what we're talking about today. In any relationship, all that will ever come out of you is what's already inside of you. It's just that marriage is kind of like dementia, you know. It, I know, it was a funny thought to me too. But it brings that out of you more quickly than any other circumstance might. So here's the question. What do you do? How do you handle this situation? Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 4:23. And the answer is really pretty simple. But it's something that most of us don't do and really don't want to do. We have to learn to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. The writer of Proverbs was Solomon. He was really smart about people and relationships and about how people and relationships work. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, above all else, which means, by the way, what I'm about to tell you is as important or more important than anything else I have ever said. Now, this is a lot coming from Solomon, because Solomon wrote a lot of the Bible, and you know, he, all these Proverbs and everything. He says, of all the things that I've taught, above all else, get this. This is really especially important. If you don't learn anything else, get this. Above all else, he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart means pay attention to what's going on in your heart. Pay attention to what's going on the inside of you. The heart in that culture represented the seat of the emotions, so it's, you know, where the emotions come out of. Solomon says, I want you to guard, which means pay attention to, guard, which means to keep the bad guys out, guard, which means protect and defend. I want you to guard your heart. Pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to and defend what's going on inside of you. Now, if I were to ask all of you to turn to the person next to you and tell them your strategy for guarding your heart. Most of you would say, Ken, what are you talking about? I don't have a strategy for guarding my heart. You know, I didn't even know I was supposed to do that. You know, I don't do that. I never even thought of that before. And besides, it sounds kind of like psychobabble, and, you know, I didn't even know that stuff was in the Bible. None of us have strategies for guarding our hearts, do we? Despite the advice of Solomon, most of us never even think about guarding our hearts. We're not very good at guarding our hearts, but I'll tell you what we are good at. We are really good at monitoring our partner's behavior. Oh, we're really good. We're experts at that. We're not good at monitoring our own hearts. You know, if I was to ask all you, you know, what does it look like to monitor your heart? Well, you'd probably have a confused look and I'd get 18 different answers and we wouldn't know. But if I ask you to describe the problems with your partner's behavior, you would say, oh, no problem. Hey, how long a list do you want? You want the one-hour version or the two-hour version? You know, we're really good at monitoring people's behavior. That's just what we do. You know, we're good at, you know, saying what they do and what they don't do, what they say, what they don't say. We're great at monitoring behavior. We're terrible at monitoring our own hearts. Now, let me tell you how those two things are connected. You see, in your relationship with the person that you love the most, you want to feel a certain way. You want to feel loved. You want to feel like you're attractive. You want to feel like you're competent and respected. You want to feel like you're appreciated and valued and taken care of. You probably have never made a list of all these things, but there are definitely things that you want to feel in a relationship, right? And your husband or wife or partner or fiancé or whatever the relationship is, their words and their actions bring out certain feelings. Now, the problem is that we have come to depend in a huge, huge way on our spouses or our partners to create those feelings in us. And so I'm depending on my partner to make me feel attractive or competent or respected, appreciated, valued, secure. Now, if we all came into the relationship with hearts that were perfect, then that would be great. It would work fine. But it doesn't work out that way because we all come into relationships full of blue or pink beads that look pretty messy when they come out. And when that stuff comes out of us, we say, you know, where did that come from? We don't like that, and we don't feel attractive or competent, respected, appreciated, valued, and secure. And so we blame the person in the relationship, and we say it's your fault that the wrong stuff is coming out. But the truth is, it was in us to begin with. For example, if you grew up in a home where you never ever felt appreciated, then when you get into a marriage relationship and you're depending on your husband or wife to make you feel appreciated, it's going to be a lot more difficult. It's going to be very difficult to maintain and feel those feelings of appreciation. No matter what he or she does, you may end up, saying it doesn't feel like enough. It's never enough, never enough. Because your ability to feel appreciation doesn't only depend on your spouse's behavior, but it also depends on the condition of your heart. And that means that your ability to stay in love has just as much to do with the condition of your heart as it does with the behavior of your spouse. Let me say that one more time. Your ability to stay in love has as much to do with the condition of your heart as it does with the behavior of your spouse. Both are important, but we are naturally good at monitoring behavior. We're terrible at monitoring our own hearts. And so when the blue beads come out and we don't like it, we say, well, would you quit saying that or quit doing that? And then those blue beads wouldn't come out. But the truth is, you brought that with you into the relationship. Listen to how Solomon ends this verse. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He says, everything you do flows from your heart. And you know what? Jesus said exactly the same thing in Luke 6:45. He says, good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everything you do flows out of your heart. Everything you do in a relationship flows from your heart. And so what that means is, if your heart isn't in good shape, it's going to be very difficult for you to have good relationships. And this is so easy to see in other people. You've seen your friends argue, and maybe they come to you to confide in you, and she says to you, you know, he is just, you know, out of control. He's doing this and this and this, and you listen to them, and you're thinking, okay, you know, he did this, but what he did is like a 4, and your reaction is like a 10, and I don't know where the other 6 came from. But now, you don't say this to your friend because you're friends, right? And you're just sort of agreeing with them and comforting them, you know. But you're, inside you're thinking, wow, you've got some issues. You know, we can see that in other people. That is almost impossible for us to see in the mirror. But here's the bottom line. What's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who's with you. What's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who's with you. You can interchange the pieces. You can change the names and the faces. You can go from relationship to relationship. But eventually, what's in you is going to come out of you regardless of who's with you. And so if you want to stay in love for a lifetime, with anyone, you're going to have to learn to pay attention to or monitor or guard your heart. Now, there's two parts to doing this. You've heard it said before, think before you speak. The first part of monitoring your heart is to stop and think about what you're feeling before you speak. Think about what you're feeling before you speak. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, this is harder for you. You know, just in advance, you need to know it's harder for you because you all tend to lump our feelings into one general category. You know, you get bumped and the blue beads come out and you say, what are you feeling? Frustrated. It's either frustration or anger, depending on the level. But, you know, well, are you feeling anything else? Nope, just frustrated. Well, is there something that's causing you to feel frustrated? Nope. Just frustration. So like frustration is the only negative emotion that you ever feel. Yep, that's pretty much where I live. You know, now women tend to be a little bit more in touch with their emotions, but you know, this is tough for guys. We're not naturally good at this. And yet, if you want to guard your heart and pay attention to what's going on inside of you, that's the first step. Is to name the real emotion that's causing you to feel frustrated. So when you and your partner bump into each other, you have some conflict, and all of a sudden, the volcano's about to explode, that's the time to stop for a moment and ask the question, what exactly did she just make me feel? What is the real emotion that's about to result in frustration or anger or whatever? What's the real emotion? Let me give some examples here. Maybe your true emotion was that you're embarrassed. Maybe something that she said made you embarrassed, and so as a result of that, you're feeling frustrated and angry. Or maybe you feel unappreciated. Well, women, this is one that is common for you. You get so mad at him sometimes, but really what's behind that anger is you feel unappreciated. Or maybe you'd say, I feel unattractive, or I feel unlovable. When he says that, you know, it just makes me feel like I'm unlovable. Or maybe I feel like a failure. Maybe it's, you know, every time you start talking about my brother-in-law and all the things they do and the vacations they take and all his accomplishments, it just makes me feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I'm a failure. Or maybe the emotion is, I feel stupid, or I feel lonely, I feel rejected, or out of control, or betrayed. Or maybe I feel jealous. You know, when I see the way that you look at those women, it makes me feel jealous, or I feel disrespected. You see, in order to guard your heart, you first have to pay attention to what's going on inside of you and name the real emotion that's going on in there, what you really feel. So that's the first step to guarding your heart, is to figure out that emotion that's really there. The second step is to talk with your partner about it. Now, here's how that conversation goes. Mr. Squishy says to Mrs. Squishy, Mrs. Squishy, I've realized that when you say this, it makes me feel that. Okay, that's the general format here. When you say those things about how I always get home late for work, it makes me feel unappreciated. Okay? Now, Mr. Squishy is not criticizing Mrs. Squishy. All he's doing is he's sharing his feelings. Now, if she chooses to get all defensive and react to that, and you know, that's her problem. That's a pink bead problem. Because he's just sharing information. When you do that, it makes me feel this way. And now, if your partner shares their feelings with you like that, do you know what the proper response is? The proper response is, I'm so glad you told me that. But then there's another part, and this is actually the most important part. In fact, we might even have to practice this in a second. I'm so glad you told me that, and you don't say anything else. You're quiet. Okay, ready to practice? I'm so glad you told me that. Some of you didn't do that too well. You were talking. You got to just quiet, nothing else, right? I'm so glad you told me that, and then you shut up. It's not, I'm so glad you told me that, but you shouldn't feel that way. I'm sorry that you feel that way. You know, or that's just dumb. No, no, that's not how it works. I'm so glad you told me that. Right? Listen to me. Healthy people who know how to relate to others, when they discover that something they do is causing a negative emotion or is causing hurt in somebody else, healthy people, when they discover that, they quit doing it. They don't say, well, you just have to deal with it. They don't say, well, you should be more mature. They don't say, well, you should grow up. No, healthy people quit doing it. When Kathy and I had been married about maybe 10 years, I discovered something that was a real hot button for her. If we'd get in a conflict or an argument and I called her a martyr, oh man, that was like the best hot button you've ever seen. It would make her go off the handle and really get angry. And so, because I care about Kathy, I quit doing that in another 5 years or so. Okay, I admit it, I'm a little slow, you know, maybe I wasn't all that healthy back then, but, you know, eventually I did quit doing that, right? And the point is, that's how you stay in love. You start paying attention to your heart, you start asking this question, what exactly did he or she make me feel, or what exactly am I feeling, and name that feeling. And chances are, you'll end up saying, you know what, you know, when I really think about that feeling, it's not really about the marriage at all. It's not really about the relationship at all. Really, that it's about a heart issue. And so, God, would you please help heal my heart and help me to overcome these things that are inside me? You see, your ability to stay in love has as much to do with the condition of your heart as it does with the behavior of your spouse. Your ability to stay in love has as much to do with the condition of your heart as the behavior of your spouse. And so what Solomon says is exactly right. Above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. And let's bow together. Heavenly Father, would you give us the courage to guard our hearts, to pay attention to what's going on inside of us, to accept the fact that we live out of our hearts and we brought some stuff with us into the relationship. Would you please give us eyes to see the way that you see? Please give us the courage to respond the way that you want us to respond. And I pray that we would be men and women who are committed to the best of our ability to not only love you, but to love each other with pure and clean and whole and healed hearts. And Father, for those of us here who are married or who are planning to get married, we pray especially that you'll help us to love that person and to stay in love with that person for the rest of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.